You're listening to Perspective on WFHR 1320 AM 97.5 FM. I'm Melissa Kay, bringing you news in our community. During this interview, I'm talking with Wood County Board Chair Lance Plimmel on Wednesday, May 27th. Thank you for joining me, Lance, to bring the community an update from the county board.
Well, good morning, Melissa. It's always a pleasure to be here, and I appreciate the time that you spend with us.
Well, and the election just happened, and so there's been just a little bit of reorganizing on the Wood County Board of Supervisors and committees. Talk us through that process. What happens?
Absolutely. So every 2 years, just like it, you know, with state representatives, there's an election. So a new Board of Supervisors was seated. We have two new members on our board this year, Paul Goldberg and Linda Casper. And at the time of the election, we have a reorganization of the board, and that means new committee structure, new committees, new board chairman, although I guess I'm the old new board chairman again, our vice chair.
How many years is it now, Lance?
A lot. About 20, okay. I believe. Somewhere in that vicinity, I lose track as well. We have a new vice chairman on our board, Jay Kahn, who's out of the Pittsville area, and Joe Zerflew, out of Port Edwards, who's our second vice chair, and then we reorganize all the committees. They then have a meeting to select their chairman, and we move forward. It's pretty seamless in the fact that we have a committee meeting typically in the first week of the month. The county board meeting, the organizational meeting, occurs in the third, and then we're right into the new committee meeting. So there's not, you know, really a lame duck time in there or a period of time where we don't operate as normal. But everybody's seated. We're up and running. I am not somebody who personally likes to just change for the sake of change. So most of those committees are very similar in appearance to what they would have been prior to the election.
Well, that was going to be the next question I wanted to ask you is how does that work? Do people express a desire to be on a specific committee or are they nominated? How does that?
Yeah, no, that's a really good question. We sent out a questionnaire asking where you would prefer to serve or where you might have some expertise. Mm-hmm. Generally speaking, and it's, you know, I've done this quite a few times, but most of them prefer to stay right where they were. So if the committee functions really well and who you anticipate might be the chairman thinks that the previous chairman thinks that that committee functions at a high level, I'm not somebody that just likes to change committees. Now, obviously, when you have new board members, people have to be slotted into certain places, and it is somewhat akin to a spider web. If you touch one end, the other end bounces all over the place. It isn't like you pull on one end of a string.
So, right, it's not static.
It takes a little bit of a rearrangement of personnel. But at the end of the day, it is that. You express an interest, a desire. Most of them, it takes 2 to 4 years to really learn what a committee does in detail. Mm-hmm. So most of the people don't really want to move too much once they get
They're
that.
They're starting over from scratch.
Occasionally somebody finds a challenge. They'd like to go in a different direction. And then those skills tend to get noticed over this next 2 years. You know, where do they lend you know, positivity to the conversation, and where do we go with them?
Well, and we were just talking about, so if everybody's seated, you're all in committees, you're starting the budget process.
Yeah, my least favorite time of the year, probably your least favorite time if you're listening out there in radio land, as we all do it. You know, it seems as though we finish one budget, we get all set, we're in the kind of audit period from that and reconciliation, and there's some amendments that handle dollars as they still arrive or as they get spent. But as soon as that happens, we start the new process. So it typically starts with a CIP or where we're going to make those investments into the county, the community. So
CIP,
the
community.
CIP,
what's that stand for?
It's really interesting though. It starts that way. We end up with about $11, $12 million of requests, and we got about $4.5 million we can spend. So
That math doesn't math, even for me.
No, that gets, you know, that has to get pared way, way down. Mm-hmm. And we'll work on that. And, you know, and some of that is there's dollars that we budget last year for expense on that side that don't actually occur. And so there's monies that, in effect, get returned to the general fund that get used and
carried,
you know,
over
in that
into
process.
The next year.
Yeah, as we move forward. And, you know, and we have some big projects coming up this year. We know that we have an ongoing water issue up at Norwood or the Northwood County Annex up in Marshfield. That's a roughly, because of asbestos removal and some of the mitigation, some of those other problems that occur, that's going to be somewhere between a $3 and $4 million project. We got a big project we're doing down at Edgewater.
Yes.
To, you know, enhance and facilitate that facility moving forward into the next 50 years. Mm-hmm. That's going to be a $2.5 million project. And then there's those roads and other things that just absolutely fall apart, you know, and you have to work on. So, you know, we continually work in that direction. We will get it done. It's never an easy process. Like I said, it's my least favorite part. Nobody likes dealing with numbers, but we have an exceptional finance director, and our different department heads work with us hand in glove to eventually get this done. So that's where we're at. I hate being there, but that's the process every year.
Well, in that $11-12 million in requests, that's really just everybody going, well, this is our wish list, right?
It is a wish list.
It is the things they need as well, but it's also, these are the nice to haves. These are the need to haves.
Yeah. And, you know, and that's exactly the way we frame it, you know, kind of critical, urgent, would like to have.
Would be nice.
Yeah, there's a few categories there. Urgent generally needs to get taken care of. And you say, well, what would be urgent? Well, for instance, the state could come in, or let's just say state regulation, they don't even come in, and you have to have certain water temperatures, for instance, at our nursing home facilities. Mm-hmm. And you have a water heater, you always have redundancy, but one goes down, and you need to replace another one because you can't have a single day that right. you don't have that capability. So those kind of things become urgent, obviously. Mm-hmm. Some of the issues up at Norwood we had with water. I mean, that was urgent. We had to immediately treat at a fairly high cost till we can do that entire pipe replacement. Hmm. And when you get facilities that are, you know, 50, 70 years old, that happens. And people say, well, why didn't you do it ahead of time? Well, I'm just guessing out there, general public. Most of you probably did not replace your car battery when it was 4 years old, just because it was kind of due. You wait till it dies, right? Well, you know, over 50 years, that's kind of what happens. It still works. Mm-hmm. You know, so we're gonna get by until till we have a problem.
Right.
So, yeah, so that's, you know, that's the unfun part. That's where we have a lot of graphs, a lot of tables, a lot of pages of numbers. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, from my perspective, we try to make those black, not red, and come up with the best solution we can, because we know the property tax levy impacts people negatively. Mm-hmm. And the lower we can get that with providing the services that are either A, required or expected, is the other part of that puzzle.
Yeah. And you mentioned Edgewater Haven. How is that project going?
Well, right now they're in the design and planning stage. It's been moving forward, seen some artist renderings. They're still fine tuning that. Mm-hmm. You know, when we kind of look at the future and where we're going to go, you see there's a certain amount of dollars that you would expect to spend. And when the architects come back and, if, you know, it's typically higher than that number. Mm-hmm. And then you start saying, well, what can we change that might get us back down to where we anticipated and still facilitate having the same kind of improvements we wanted? And it sounds ridiculous. It might be things as minor as certain light fixtures can cost several thousand dollars more than others that do generally the same thing. And then right. lights might be a bad idea because then you're going to say, well, then you're going to use, you know, fluorescent instead of LED or something. That's not the case. It's just, you know, do you use wall sconces or do you use ceiling lights? Yeah. Do you use a certain type of flooring or a different type? But those changes can make hundreds of thousands of dollars of difference.
That's so a big project.
That project's moving along right now. It has not been approved in its entirety by the board. The planning process was approved, but I think as a board, and I hate to speak for the whole board because, you know, I get one vote, just like they do. But at the end of the day, the projections are a significant savings over doing what we're doing right now, even after we expend the money to do the improvements.
Right. But for those who aren't aware or haven't been catching these updates with Edgewater, you're changing one wing into more of a assisted living versus a nursing home.
And that was a really long answer to, you know, what is CIP? Capital Improvement Project. So I apologize for
That's
that.
Okay. We got there. So once that that is done and completed, when is the projected completion of that?
That's a good question because it hasn't started yet.
Right.
You know, and I'm guessing it's going to be much like our jail, too. We had tremendous, you know, supply problems, delays when we started that. Part of that was the COVID issues, obviously coming out of that. Right now with, you know, what's going on in the world, different places, you know, there's still supplies that aren't getting where they need to get. Yep. But I think, you know, once we get started on that start to finish, you're probably looking at a year and a half to occupancy. Okay. So if everything went as planned, I think we would probably break ground probably early next year would be a projection. I think I'd be way too optimistic to say late this year.
Yeah.
But again, you know, it just depends what happens day to day. You know, I walk into the office typically on Monday morning. You kind of have a list of things you're going to go over.
Mm-hmm.
And then over the weekend, trouble occurred.
You know, and it can be a lot of things. Sticky notes everywhere. Yeah. And somebody's walking into your office going, Lance, I need you to deal with this.
Yeah. I mean, it can be human resources, you know, related issues. It can be, you know, a road problem occurred somewhere, you know, a disaster, you know, a flood type thing where it takes out, you know, a county road.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden that ends up at the top of your list that day and you don't get to the other things. And that's where critical comes in. You know, we talked
right.
about, you know, if we have a major county highway that washes out in a storm or something else happens,
right.
That all of a sudden goes from, we were going to do it in 3 years to that's urgent. And yet, unlike the federal government, we can only spend what we have. We can't right. print money. So then what do we delay or what do we put off?
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes that, you have to engage a lot of department heads to say, hey, can we get by? Can you go another year?
Yeah.
How do we make this happen? Because we don't print money.
Delicate.
We can't have deficit
juggling.
Spending. Yeah, we're juggling all the time.
Well, let's take a brief pause here to hear from our sponsors. I'm Melissa Kay talking with Wood County Board Chair Lance Plimmel, and you're listening to Perspective on 1320 AM, 97.5 FM, WFHR. Welcome. You're listening to Perspective on WFHR 1320 AM, 97.5 FM. I'm Melissa Kay, bringing you news in our community. I'm speaking with Wood County Board Chair Lance Plimmel, and where we left off, we were talking about some of the improvements that will be happening at Edgewater and budgetary things. Now let's move on to a more fun topic that people will, you know, are enjoying the very warm weather today, but all of our parks are open.
Great time of year. And one of my favorite things that we do in the county is the parks. And part of the reason for that is the parks can be enjoyed by everybody. You know, many of the programs that we run within the county or are required to run are for a certain subset of people. And, you know, and everybody can get out and enjoy the parks. And we have a jewel of a park system.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, all of our campgrounds are open. Most of those were open around the 1st of May. Sarah Park, our new acquisition last year, which many of you remember is the Consolidated Employees Recreation Area,
mm-hmm.
Was opened last Friday for camping. I happened to drive through the park on probably Saturday. It looked like it was going very well. You know, we're thrilled to have that facility as well as the others. And then I guess the real special part of this is for 20 plus years, we planned some additions and some improvements up at Powers Bluff.
Mm.
And you saw the, you know, world-class bike trails we put in last year. And now the new shelter building is almost complete. We're waiting for the front doors. The rest of the building is generally done, but the front doors, there was a supply issue. They were back-ordered.
You kind of need doors.
Yeah, and
know?
They're special size. It's not like we can go to the hardware store and just buy some. Hopefully that will get done, but that is an exceptional facility. It'll allow us to run year-round events up there. It's something that, you know, people often ask, why do you plan? It's, well, you plan so when funds become available, whether that be through state grants or other opportunities, that you're ready to go.
Yeah.
And about 20 years ago, we put these plans together, come into fruition. I was up there, like I said, about a week or two ago as well, just about complete. And we are scheduled to host the Wisconsin County Forest Association annual summer tour.
Ooh.
And we are supposed to be using that facility. So Chad or Fritz, if you guys are listening, our park and forestry directors, I'm hoping that's happening.
Otherwise, you're going to be taking
plywood. Yeah, we're looking for, exactly. We're looking for either another location.
Maybe put up a tarp.
Tarp, you know. I mentioned that, yeah. You know, one of those screens that hangs
sure.
up. Or hopefully the doors get in. But again, you know, another feather in the cap of the parks department. And our parks are used, even the campgrounds. Almost 50% of the occupancy at those parks are local residents,
mm-hmm.
You know, of the county. And so we highly encourage you to use those facilities to take advantage of it. Make your reservation, get online, get that taken care
and
of.
And the online reservation system, that's fairly recent.
Yeah, a couple of years ago, we went, you know, totally to that way of doing things. I'm sure that if you have no access to online reservations, that there is some workaround. However, I would recommend that if, you know, especially those peak weekends,
mm-hmm.
you know, for instance, there's no way right now, I'm guessing that you would get a campsite for the weekend of the water ski tournament. That's probably not going to happen. 4th of July, obviously. I think this year the 4th falls on a Saturday, doesn't it?
I believe so. I think,
you know, that weekend's probably going to be a tough one. Mm-hmm. But, you know, get the reservation in. And then the one thing we encourage, you know, the campgrounds are great all the time. Mm-hmm. And obviously people work around, you know, their weekends are free. But there's typically always room during the week.
Yeah.
And if you want a little bit quieter environment, little, you know, few less people running around, sometimes when I drive through the park, it's Sunday night or Monday, the various ones, just to see how it went over the weekends. I think that's the best time. So I would encourage you to, you know, maybe you do the weekend and you stay for a couple extra days, mm-hmm. and see what nature has
yeah.
to bear.
Yeah, you get to enjoy some of yeah. the natural sounds. And I mean, kids laughing and playing and running around is fun to hear too, but yeah,
absolutely.
So is nature.
So we're getting there. And like I said, that's one thing, you know, we ask you to enjoy, you know, whether you be at NEPCO or South Park or North Park or Dexter, you're going to see improvements with bathrooms. You're going to see signage going up at Sarah Park out on the highway to further mm-hmm. identify that.
Oh, good. So we won't blow yeah. past it anymore
yeah,
when we're driving?
Yeah, we had
driving.
That conversation. I did that again the other day. So you've seen some really beautiful stonework and signs that were done at the entrances of our various parks. And that was actually done with the materials. If you're old enough, if you're as old as me, you remember the old beach houses we used to have at the beach, and we had lifeguards out there and everything? We actually, when we dismantled those, we saved that rock.
Oh, wow.
And we used those to build those signs, and they're really great. So the new one right now, the foundation was in when I went by Sarah Park, when I was in Sarah Park last week. I assume they'll start working on the stonework itself this mm-hmm. week. But yeah, signage. And that's tough up there. If you're going to Sarah Park, be real cognizant of where you are, because it's really easy to blow by the entrance right now. We are working on the signage.
You and I have both done that.
Yeah, we've both done it. And actually, the parks director told me he almost did it the other day. So we're working
well,
we're
on it. We're not alone.
No, we're not alone.
Well, let's move on to another topic here that was kind of a hot issue during the election. And our county clerk, Trent Miner, put out a response in the minutes from the Wood County Board of Supervisors meeting minutes. And there was a social media post that was up on a Facebook page, and it looked like it came from the county. And Trent addressed that.
Yeah, kind of disconcerting. So, first of all, this is happening everywhere. So I want you to be extremely cognizant of where you get your information and to verify it and make sure it's right. But in this case, they made it look like the county put something out. County politics is nonpartisan. You don't run on either side of the aisle, nor do our elected officials participate in that way within an office. So if you saw something that appeared to have one of our department heads or one of our constitutional officers endorsing a candidate or speaking on one side or the other of a political aisle, it didn't come from us. It came from an outside source. And we immediately contacted the poster of that, asked to have that taken down immediately. If that wouldn't have occurred, then we probably would have pursued legal, you know, mm-hmm. action immediately or a legal conclusion to that particular issue. But, you know, more importantly, Melissa, you and I were talking is, really check stuff. I bet if I pulled my phone out of my pocket right now, I probably have 10 to 20 spam calls. My email inbox is loaded with click here, you know, to pick up the $50,000 that we've approved for you and the personal loan that has now been, you know, approved of which you never applied for. In fact, I got so tired of these that I used to just hang up. Now I actually wait till they get a live person and I say, 50, I was asking for 500. And can I have that money tomorrow? Here's my, you know, I'm thinking they're burning my time. I'm going to burn theirs. But the point is, in today's world, check the source.
Yeah.
If there's something that you think came from the county that seems odd, call us and notify us. Somebody said to me, didn't you notice that on Facebook? I don't have a Facebook account. I have never had a Facebook account. I will never have a Facebook account, just so I don't get in those arguments.
Mm-hmm.
But check, double yeah. check, recheck. And so we have an outstanding county clerk. Trent Miner is the model of county clerks around the state. Others call him, they seek advice, and he got on this right away to take care of it.
Mm-hmm. And then addressed it.
Yeah, absolutely, immediately. Mm-hmm. You have to be clear that you're not going to use, in effect, our name or that forum to make it look as though we're doing something that we should not be doing.
Right. Because sometimes it's about those optics. It's the appearance of.
It's all optics. You know, we touched on that briefly before. You know, right now you'll see, let's say a Facebook post come out or something on YouTube, and it comes out at noon, and you assume it's somebody doing this from work. the thing is, you can schedule these to go out any time. So, if you were at home and you wanted to post something, you can put all that together and have it posted the next day at noon. It appears as though an employee, whether it be from a company or county employment, is doing that during work hours. That's not necessarily the case. Mm-hmm. But if you think there's something happening that shouldn't, let us know.
Yeah.
We will look into it and we'll make sure that it doesn't.
Yeah. And reach out to the source directly. Maybe don't engage with that Facebook post, but call Wood County.
That's exactly the way I would handle it. Get a hold of us. And, we have the tools to deal with that. We also have law enforcement that can deal with it if mm-hmm. it's something that is illegal. Mm-hmm. So we would more than gladly take a look at that.
And Lance, I don't think I'd click on that $50,000 offer. Those are email phone inbox.
Calls. Oh, so, okay. Yeah. And, I'm sure every one of you gets tired of these today. Yeah. So, I used to just hang up and I'm thinking, I'm going to waste your time. I'll call you back. And I might not even say anything. I might just walk away from the phone for an hour. Let the line be tied up.
Well, and if it's a computer, sometimes you can almost tell.
You can with the delays. This is one thing that I have asked some of our legislators, both at the state and federal level, to look into, because it's gotten to the point of, without exaggeration, I probably get 50 unwanted spam calls a day. And obviously they keep changing the number. Mm-hmm. I keep blocking the number. I'm on the no-call list.
They can even make it look like it's coming from a local
wherever.
Number.
Yeah. I'm on the no-call list. And I think they have to put in place legislation whereby, if they can ascertain where these come from or who's doing it, that the fines are really big. I'm talking maybe $100,000, after the couple of infractions. And where it quickly moves up to the millions of dollars. Because this is, it's just tying up phone lines, it's tying up time, and it's a problem.
It is. Well, I always appreciate you coming in, Lance. There's always so much more we could talk about, but we've run out of time again. I'm Melissa Kay, speaking with Wood County Board Chair Lance Plimmel. Thank you for taking the time today, Lance.
Thanks, Melissa. Always enjoyable.
And thank you to listeners joining us for news in our community on Perspective, 1320 AM, 97.5 FM, WFHR.